is ready for the word today? Come on, that's a clap. If I was going to preach, I ain't preaching today. Who is ready for the word today? Woo! Well, this man that is bringing the word today, I have a chance to just watch him. I get a chance to just look up to him as a mentor, and he's helped a lot of men in this church grow. He's challenged a lot of men to grow, and you know, he leads his family well. He leads well on his job. Wherever he goes, he leads well. And today he's going to lead us well. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Pastor Alex Ortiz.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. This is the mic that I need to pick up, by the way, so in case anybody is interested. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? What an awesome time of worship. Can I tell you just how blessed I was to see little Miss Deshae up here worshiping? You know what was sweet? Was just seeing her worship with Daddy. As I feel like this is a picture of exactly what Father God is like, where we worship him and he stands by our side and he says, all right, baby, good job. Encouraging you. And so that was just so sweet to be able to see that. So what a blessing. What a blessing. My name is Pastor Alex. It is such a pleasure to be here this morning. It's such an honor to be able to share the word this morning with you. Before I move any further, I want to make sure that I give honor and thanks to the leader of this house, to Pastor Shana. Woo! I have grown pretty significantly over the last couple of years because of her idea of who she saw in me. And I remember I used to sit in the back over there manage the computers and do the audio system, and never once thought that God would put me, in backstage, but here to be able to share a word. And so I thank her for being able to see that and just grow that. And so, you know, I think what makes a good leader is being able to see something in someone else that they haven't yet seen and then speak that over them. And so I'm just very grateful for that. I also want to make sure that I thank my family, because preaching is hard for the preacher, but it's also taxing on the family, because there is a lot of time where we're spending in the Word and making sure that we are preaching what it is that God, what thus saith the Lord. And so I just want to thank my family, my boys that are here, my beautiful wife, Pastor Jen, who is amazing just in her own right. I can tell you as her husband that if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. And she has made me the man that I will be tomorrow. And so I'm just super grateful for you, babe. Amen, amen, amen. All right, I got a question for y'all. You guys ever order something or bought something online and then received it and been like, this is not what I expected? Anybody ever had that experience before? Yeah, it shows up at the doorstep, or you go to the grocery store and you open the package and you realize, this is not what I expected. Well, I want to share with you a quick story. The summer is hot, and I love treats. Anything that's sweet, I am going to devour. But in particular, I love the summer because it's my opportunity to eat a whole bunch of popsicles and not feel super guilty because I need it, you know, to bring down my temperature. And I love these little chili mango popsicles. You guys ever had them? They sell them at the ice cream truck. And I had this aching for this little chili mango popsicles. Which is pretty common in most Latino households, I think. If it's sweet and spicy, you have it. And so we did. Well, as any person in the Silicon Valley would do, I couldn't find an ice cream truck in my neighborhood, so I just Googled it. Where do I find these chili mango popsicles? Yeah, well, I am in the wrong neighborhood. That's true. It's true. I'm not on the east side anymore, so I can't just walk down to the local grocery store and pick up these delicious little Mexican frozen treats. But I Googled it, and I found it in my local store. And so I ran down to go pick it up. I pull out the box and I see this amazing popsicles. They're about 12 inches, you know. I'm like, I can't wait to take these home and buy them. I go through the self-service. I check out. I rush home. I get to the house, open up my popsicles, and here is what I find. My hand is not enlarged there. That is as big as this popsicle was. Can I tell you how disappointed I was in realizing that now I have to eat 25 of these to get the same amount of pleasure that I would get from just one of these? Oh my goodness, yes. The first thing I could think of is, this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. The title of my message today is, This is Not What I Expected. It's not what I expected. Do me a favor, go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 24. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to read most of today's verses. We're going to start in Luke 24. We're going to read from verses 13 all the way down to 21. We're going to try something special, though. I'm going to start at verse 13. I'm going to read all the way to 20. And then when we get to 21, I would love for y'all to jump in unison with me. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. And if you don't have that, that's okay. The words will appear here on your screen. And so we'll be doing that together. Now, we're in a series called At the Movies. As we mentioned during the announcements, it's an opportunity for us to be able to get together as a family on Wednesday nights, watch a movie, and then on Sundays be able to connect that movie back to a biblical truth. And so this last Wednesday, we watched a movie called RV. And RV is a comedy. It's starring Robin Williams as a beverage salesman. His name is Bob Monroe. And it's all the antics that they get into in being able to go on a family trip on an RV. Before moving any further, what I want to do is I actually want to play that trailer so you can get a little better context of what that movie was about.
Daddy, I always want to live here with you.
One day, you're going to grow up, you'll meet a wonderful guy, and you're going to get married. But you and I will always be best friends.
Dad, could you be any more of a dork?
What happened to that little girl who used to go, Daddy's home?
Cass?
God, what?
Nothing. Oh.
We watch TV in four separate rooms, and we IM each other when dinner's ready.
Well, then let's change things.
Mom, some idiot just parked this ugly RV outside our house. Oh, my God, it's your husband.
There's an elegant touch. You know what you say when you take an RV trip? RV camps.
You folks want to join us for breakfast?
We'd love to.
No!
Somebody's right.
Try to remember, we're not friendly.
I've got a never-ending love for you.
We're ditching this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Kids, move!
Good news.
I'm adopted.
Good one.
You're just determined to have a bad time, aren't you? Not me. I embrace every challenge.
This is the worst I've ever been treated.
Where do you get married?
Thank you.
Oh, the Gornickies, I'll flag them down.
What do they like about us? We're not even that appealing.
We have to hang together, stay strong.
Who is that maniac?
You have no idea what you're doing.
Damn straight. Sewage tank is overflowing.
We are gonna get this fixed up for you.
It's gonna be a regular Field of Dreams moment for us, buddy.
Oh, dude, that is nasty.
Ew. Ew, yum, yum, yum. If you didn't get a chance to watch the movie, it's available on Netflix. Now, you don't have to watch the movie to follow along with today's message, but it's a comedy, and it is really funny. And so although this movie's a comedy, there's a real biblical application that I want to talk with you today. Because we get a chance to see, we saw Bob Monroe, who's the dad, striving for this idea of what success is for his family. Early in the movie, his daughter says, I want to marry a man, I want him to be just like you, and all these ideas of what he had pictured his family to be. And then fast forward along so many years, and now things aren't quite what he expected. They aren't quite what he expected. It wasn't what he had envisioned of success. Now, my hope today is that you'll walk away knowing that God has so much more than what you have envisioned for what you think success may look like, for what vision he's given you, an idea for what he's given you. He has so much more for those expectations. Because I think sometimes we limit what God can do in our own lives because all we have is this small idea of what God is able to do or of what we can envision of what we're going to do, of what he's able to do for that. And so we're going to be reading in Luke 24 and reading through that. But before we do that, can you do me a favor? Go ahead and lift up your Bibles. We're going to do our Bible affirmation and just declare this truth. And let's begin together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Luke 24, I'm going to start at verse 13. I'm going to read all the way to 20. And when I get to 21, I want you guys to read with me. Can we do that? We're going to stay seated, so we're doing a bit of reading today. And let's begin. Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then the one who was named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, let's read that together. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see beyond what we expect, beyond what we can physically see. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us revelation of what you have for each of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, there's two disciples, and they're on the road to Emmaus, which is, it says in the text, that they're 7 miles away from the center of Jerusalem. And then on their way to Jerusalem, or rather on the way to Emmaus, it says that Jesus, who they don't recognize because he has shielded them from being able to see who he is, approaches him. Before we even jump into this, I want to recap what had just happened the previous chapter. Jesus had just been crucified. He had been put to death, and he's in a grave. And 3 days have passed. And the disciples that you see walking, they still don't yet know the news that Jesus has risen. But it's the third day. It's the third day. Right? And Jesus had told him, look, I will rise. Now it's the third day and they haven't seen it happen. They hadn't seen it happen. And here's what the disciples who are walking with Jesus, they tell him. They said, man, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Our hope, we thought, we expected that on the third day he would rise and that he would redeem Israel. And here they're walking away. You can almost hear the disappointment in their voice as they're walking away thinking, I expected something different. I expected this to look completely different. And now the third day has come, and it doesn't look any different. He's still dead because they don't know the news that he's already risen. In fact, they don't even see the promise in front of them walking with him and asking them questions. They don't see the fulfillment of that promise walking alongside with him. They don't see what he had told them walking right along with them. And so they're walking, and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, joins them, right? And he begins to talk to them and ask them questions. And I love this about Jesus. I love this about Jesus because he didn't just say, surprise, guys, I'm here. He asked them, why are you guys so sad? What is it? What are you so disappointed about? And they begin to express their disappointment to him. And then I love what Jesus does, because he doesn't just leave them right there, but he begins to recap what it was that Jesus' promise was for them. Now, don't we have this exact same experiences in our lives, where God has told us and given us a vision of what he has called our family to look like, of what our marriages are supposed to look like, of what our health is supposed to look like. And then we get to the point when we begin to look and say, wait a minute. This is not what I expected. I'm still in the same place, and it's not what I expected. I expected it to look this way, and it doesn't look that way right now. And our response is, maybe God wasn't true to his word. Maybe his promises weren't for me. Maybe he doesn't keep what he said he was going to keep. Maybe I don't deserve what he told me he was going to give me. And so there's this doubt that begins to run in our minds. Even the disciples in this verse, they said in 21, can we put that up? But it says, but we were hoping. We had put all of our trust and all of our hope in this man. We were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And now it's the third days and all these things have happened. We hoped that things would be different. In our minds, we had an idea of what this was going to look like. And now it's not that. Dreams dashed. And disappointment has set in. It's almost like, I love this, they had an appointment set, and they said 3 days after his death, something would happen. They had to set this appointment on their calendar, and instead of the appointment, they ran into disappointment. Instead of the appointment, they ran into a place of disappointment. Have you ever hoped that a situation was going to be different than it actually turned out to be? Only to then be in a place of disappointment, and it begins to set in. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe that's the place that you're in right now where God has given you a promise and you had expected an appointment, but instead of receiving that, you received disappointment. And you're in a place where you're questioning whether or not, did I hear God right? Is he true to his word? Did he really say that? Am I really worthy of being able to receive what he has told me that I'm supposed to get? Here's what I want you. If there's anything that you walk away from today, is that God just doesn't want to give you what you expect, but he wants to give you so much more. He wants to give you so much more than what your mind can ever conceive, think, or imagine of what the situation is supposed to look like. We want this much for what it is that he's told us about. And he said, no, baby, I got this much. I got more than you can even imagine. And so what are the disciples here, they're expecting something completely different. They're expecting a worldly king. They're expecting that the people that have oppressed them, that they would be destroyed, that the Romans would no longer be, that there would be this worldly king who would rise up, that armies would rise up, and that he would just go ahead and just decimate nations, and he would become this worldly leader, this king with power, this king with a position. That's what they expected, right? That was in their mind, that was the greatest thing that they could imagine could ever happen. That was the greatest thing that they could imagine could ever be. And what happened? Jesus died on a cross, and he was buried. And so their response was not to just stick around in Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem wasn't just the place of their home. But Jerusalem was the place where they learned to worship. Jerusalem was the place where they began to trust this man named Jesus. Jerusalem was the place where faith was instilled and grown within them. It was their church home. It was the place where hope was implanted within them. And now they're 7 miles away from that place. They're 7 miles away from home. They're 7 miles away from the place where faith had been planted within them. They're 7 miles away from where they learned to worship. The dream that God had given them, the vision that he had given them, wasn't what they saw. And so they walked away from that. And they didn't see it, and so they walked away. Now, can I tell you that when things aren't turning out what you expect, that is not the time to walk away or to withdraw or to isolate. That is not the time to be 7 miles away from the center of the place where my faith was first rooted. That is not the time to walk away from the place where I learned how to worship. That is not the time where my hope, where that first was instilled, that is not the time to be away from that. But isn't that a natural response to that? Well, God obviously isn't real, so I'm just going to begin to walk away. Obviously, his truth isn't for me, so I'm not going to be over there anymore. And you see these disciples walking away. And Jesus, the promise being fulfilled, walks alongside them. And I love his response here, because in Luke 24 and verse 25, he begins to speak to them. And it says, then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, oh, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus tells them, God isn't in the business of disappointing. You know how I know that? Because if you look back to Moses and all through the prophets, he's never been in the business of disappointing. He's never been in the business of giving you promises he's not going to begin to give those back to you. He's never been in that business. That ain't his business. He isn't in the business of lying of what it is that he's going to give you. And he points them right back to the word. He points them right back to the deeds. He points them right back to what it is that God said. He points them right back to the promise. He points them right back to what it is that he said. And he takes them through the word. He takes them right through the word. In our time of disappointment, we need to get back to what it is, the foundation of what he said to us. In the point of disappointment, we need to go back and ask, God, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? Can I tell you, this is why declarations are important. This is why journaling is important, because it gives us an opportunity to go back and ask, what did he say? Because we'll be 7 miles away from the center of where hope was, and we have no idea what he said. And declarations tell us, no, baby, because here is what his word said. Here is exactly what he promised you. Here is exactly what it is that I've done in the past for you. Here's what I've done in the past for the prophets. Here's what I did for Moses. And he takes them right back to the word. He takes them right back to what it is that God did and all the deeds and everything that he has promised to them. And then after he's done recounting all that God had said, after he's reminded them of what he said, the verse continues on and it says that they went into a city, they went into a village, and they ate together. And they began to rebuild a relationship with Jesus. Jesus just doesn't walk away and leave you in a place of disappointment. But he goes back and he reminds these disciples, look, I gave promises, and not just to you. I gave promises to Moses. I gave promises to all the prophets, and I gave greater promises than what you're expecting. I wasn't just going to be raised from the grave, but when that happened, there were going to be exceedingly and abundant benefits to me being raised up. I'm not just going to do what you expect. I'm not just going to be raised up and become a king, a worldly king, who's going to rule over people. I'm going to be the king above kings. My death and my resurrection aren't just going to give you an opportunity to have a worldly army raised up, but I'm going to give you an exceeding and abundant life. Liberation from sin. There's no worldly king that can liberate you from your sin. There's no worldly king that can liberate you from the sin of past generations. But Jesus' death can. And Jesus' death did. In the expectation that the disciples have, and in our own expectations of our mind, we have this idea of what it is that God could possibly do for us. And even in our largest dreams, in our largest visions, God's saying, I got way more than that. I've got exceedingly and abundantly more than what you can ever dream or imagine. I'm not just raising up a worldly king, Jesus. That's not my position. My position is to free you from sin. It's to give you eternal and abundant life. It's to bring healing. It's to deliver. It's to set free the captives. But they couldn't see it in that moment. They couldn't see it in that moment. All that God had done, he had done it behind the scenes. Can I submit to you today that God is doing something behind the scenes in your life right now? that you cannot see in the natural, that your physical eyes just can't imagine, that your physical eyes just can't gaze upon and perceive upon. The disciples were disappointed in the very little that they didn't see in the natural, that they couldn't see the very big that God had already done. Now, in our movie RV, this father, Bob Monroe, his family is the quintessential idea of what a family should look. When you think of success in a family, you're thinking of a family who lives in a nice big house, go to great schools, father has a great job, mom stays home. On the surface, it looks like they've got the perfect picture of success. But if you dig just a little bit deeper, you realize there's brokenness, there's dysfunction, there's healing that hasn't happened, there's relationships that are not where they should be, there's disrespect. Man, let my kids call me a dork. All throughout the movie, all I kept, I was sitting next to my wife on Wednesday night, and all I kept thinking was, and sharing with her, not in my family. Not in my family. Shoot, let that happen in my family. All right? But there's all this dysfunction in their family. But you look from the outside, and boy, that looks like success. That looks like what I would expect it to look like. Now, in contrast, there's another family in the movie. It's the Gornicki family. And they're, it's by the outside, they look like losers. They look like losers. They live in an RV all of their lives, or, you know, all of the years, or all throughout the year. They live in an RV. They homeschool their kids. They seem completely out of touch with our worldly idea of success. Totally out of touch. Like, where's the big house? How come you don't got a swimming pool? Right? How come you don't have this amazing job that you can go to 9 to 5? Like, all these things that we imagine in our mind to be success. But if you just dig a little deeper into their family, you realize that they have so much more than what we could ever imagine when it comes to success. I mean, the husband and wife had a solid marriage. They actually like being together. All my husbands and wives in right here who like being with each other, you don't have to say it out loud. But isn't it a beautiful thing when you actually like being with your partner? Because when you don't, there's no peace. Just saying. I love being with my wife most of the time. Love you, baby. She just talks at the movies, and so sometimes we're just not able to watch movies together. That's all. She likes to ask questions, and I don't like to answer questions in the middle of a movie, so. Their kids respected them, and their kids like them. Oh, my gosh. How much would I love to see kids who actually like their parents? Right? And they loved to be with their parents. They sang together songs, and they were just this happy, chipper family. And you're thinking, like, how and why do these people, like, do they not understand that this is not what worldly success looks like? But they weren't rich in money, the Gornicki family, but they were truly wealthy. They were truly wealthy. Wealthy with joy, wealthy with happiness, and wealthy with something that was important to them, which was their family. Now, Bob is doing everything that he can throughout the movie to try to be in a place of success where he thinks of. He's working hard at his job, and he's scheming to try to get to places. In fact, the reason they ended up on an RV trip was because he needed to make it to a sales meeting, wherever they were going. And instead of going to Hawaii with his family to spend time, he figured out he could finagle his way to actually make it to the sales meeting. And so that's how they end up in an RV. But all this idea of success, he works through it, and it's at the expense of his family. It's at the expense of what he wants to eventually value. The idea behind is that if I make more money, my family will be happy and we'll all be joyful. Because that's what success looks like in the world, right? And in the end, he doesn't get that, but he gets way more than what he ever expected. You know, in the end, Bob gives up his job. He gives us this idea of worldly success. And he gets back his family. He gets back his daughter who loves him and respects him. He gives back an opportunity to spend time with his family. He gives back wealth and not just riches. And on top of that, he gets back a better job that gives him the chance to do this. Now, this this idea, and what I love about being able to bring this right back to where we were talking about in the scripture is that this is the same experience as we have. We have these expectations of what it is that we believe success is supposed to look like in our life. What we, when God gives us a promise, our immediate thought is very little. And God's like, no. I'm not just looking to bless you. I'm looking to bless generations, right? I'm not just looking to set you in a place of freedom for you. I'm looking to set freedoms for your children's, grandchildren's, grandchildren's, grandchildren. It's not just about you. It's not just about what you're able to see right now. It goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond that. And the disciples, their thought in Luke 24, 21, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Guess what? He indeed did redeem Israel. And then some. Because all of you that are sitting in this room are part of a promise that wasn't just meant for just Israel. All of you are part of a promise that wasn't just this small idea of what the disciples thought was possible. But you know what? It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Wasn't a surprise. When this all happened, it wasn't a surprise. Because in Isaiah 43, is what it says. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Turn to your neighbor, tell him he's going to do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In the NIV version, it says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? Don't you see it? When you see a new thing, you know how you know it's a new thing? Because you've never seen it before. You've never seen it before. It's never been done like that before. And Jesus' promise wasn't that I'm going to do the thing that you've seen done in the past with kings. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. And so what does he do? He does a new thing. He does a new thing. Some of us are stuck on how we think God is going to deliver on his promise. But I'm here to proclaim he's doing a new thing in your lives today. He's doing a new thing in generations that are to come. He's doing something brand new that you would have never expected when it comes to his promises. He's not looking just to give you what you thought, but he's looking to give you way more than you ever expected, way more than you've ever seen, way more than it has ever existed in the past. He said, I'm looking to do a brand new thing in your life that's going to impact not just you. It's not going to impact just you. It's not going to be this small idea of what it is that you think success is. I'm here to do a new thing in your life. I'm here to do a new thing in your life. Here's what I want you to do with this message. There's hope. There's hope. Jesus doesn't leave us with an appointment only for us to walk away with disappointment. But he says that I'm doing a new thing in your lives. I'm doing something brand new. Even if your situation doesn't look like what you think it would look like, he is a redeemer. He is a redeemer. His promises said he was going to redeem Israel, and he was doing more than just that. He was redeeming nations. He was redeeming the world. He was redeeming you and me when we didn't even know, think, or imagine that it was even possible. But that's always what his thought was. That was always his plan. It was always what he was going to do. Even if what we expected was so tiny and so small. He's doing a new thing, and he's going to exceed your expectations of him today. Now, if you believe that, can you do me a favor and just raise a hallelujah to him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, if you believe that, can you just praise him right now? Yeah. I want to do this real quickly, because I feel like I need to pray for a couple of things this morning. So if you would do me a favor and join me. I feel like there's a place where people have been living in a state of disappointment. And so I want to pray over those folks right now. If that's you, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to stand. But I just want to pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would open eyes, God. Lord, that the appointment that you had made, that you would, Father, just begin to show them that you are not in the business of disappointing, of not delivering on your promises, God. I pray, Lord, that your word would be true, God, that your promises would be true, God. Lord, that today, that as we walk out, we would walk out in a place of hope, We would walk out in a place of knowing, God, that you expect so much more, that you give so much more than our tiny minds could ever even imagine. And so I pray for those, God, that are in a place of disappointment, that they would know, God, that you are a deliverer. You are a redeemer. You are not a man who goes back on his word. You are not a liar, but you are one who fulfills every single promise. Even if we don't see it in our minds and physically of what it's supposed to look like, you are a God who says truth, that what thus saith the Lord, you deliver on. You're not in a place of disappointing. I pray for those that have held onto an idea of success and what they thought, that they would expand their vision, that their lift, that their lid would be lifted right now. God, that your idea and your vision of what it is that you have for them would grow just beyond what our mere minds could conceive. God, for those that are seeking for healing right now, I pray, Lord, that they would see that there is more than healing that you give. There is more than healing that you provide, God, but you restore, you recompense, you give back what the enemy has stolen, everything that the enemy has taken away. God, you don't just heal them, but you recompense, you give back. And so I just lift those up right now, God, who are in a place where they just have held on to this idea of disappointment and this idea of what success should be like. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would infuse hope, that you would infuse hope, that you would infuse hope. God, that every single vision that you've given, Lord, that every single idea and promise that you've given, God, Lord, that there is hope. Because all throughout the scripture, you've never once said something that you haven't come back to. You've never once said that your promise hasn't fulfilled. You've never once said one thing and has turned back on it. You are a God of hope. You are a redeemer. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. And so, God, we just lift up our voice and we worship you right now. We worship you, God. Do me a favor. Go ahead and stand. Let's worship him right now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do me a favor. I want you to declare who he is. Say, God, you're a redeemer. God, you're a healer. God, you're a promise keeper. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you believe that, go ahead and lift your voice. Lift your voice.